Today, here on Cincy Business Talk with Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. We'll be talking to business leaders about how they have grown their businesses and people. We discuss new strategies, tactics, and philosophies which lead to positive growth in our marketplace. Our program is sponsored by Sandler Training by Roth & Associates. Each week, we'll talk with our best Cincinnati area top executives about their tools and insights. Our regular listeners will be given the edge that will help them win in a competitive environment which we live. Simple solutions to complex problems which challenge all of us are rarely correct. We will address complex problems or opportunities with appropriate solutions. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400. Now your host, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer, Mike Roth.
Thanks, Scott. This is Mike Roth. Today I'm here with Greg Johnson, and thanks for joining us today. Greg is the founder and president of Johnson Resource Group.
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us. And
glad to be here.
Before we get started, I just want to tell everyone about a few things that are coming up. The first thing that I'll mention is the Sandler Client Summit. That's February 14th and 15th in Orlando, Florida. And yes, we will have a show on the 14th and 15th. That's a Thursday and Friday. Those will be pre-recorded shows. If you join us at the Sandler Conference, and several of our clients from Cincinnati have already signed up, you'll get to hear a phenomenal conference with a theme of No Guts, No Gain. How do we get tougher for 2013? And the keynote speaker is going to be from LinkedIn. We're going to have their head of global sales for LinkedIn, and his name is Brian Frank, and Brian is going to share with us how LinkedIn utilizes their own platform to expand their brand and marketplace presence. Here in Cincinnati, at the end of January, we're going to have a one-day cold call camp. That's where I'm going to teach salespeople how to stop wasting their time making cold calls that don't work. We're going to turn it into a productive activity. We'll teach how to get by gatekeepers. We'll teach people three different highly effective scripts for your prospects, and then at least five different ways to break other people's voicemails so they have to return your call at least 70% of the time. The balance of the day, probably about 2 hours, will be used to actually make cold calls. So everyone's supposed to bring about 10 prospects they've never spoken to before, and we're going to get through to them. We're going to record the calls and then debrief what happened so that everyone can get better. We do that in small groups. Okay, that's available. If you're a Sandler President's Club member, then you need to call Carmen and make a reservation. If you're not a President's Club member, tell Carmen when you call in, 753-9400, extension 106, that you heard about the cold call camp on the radio show, and she'll give you a 20% discount. Now, let's see. Other special announcements. What's coming up next? Tomorrow's show. We're going to have Al Conscious from Conscious Enterprises. He's a commercial building owner here in Cincinnati and a highly active fellow on nonprofit boards. We're going to have Christina Flanagan, an attorney who's got her own firm. She's going to be on next week. And on the 18th of January, we're going to have Andy Boyd, who's the president of IPS, or Integrated Protection Services. Andy's company sells fire alarm testing, fire alarm systems, security systems, camera systems. On the 24th, we'll have Arnie Stoller, who started a company called Covop. I hope I didn't butcher that name too much. His company started as a wholesaler of supplies for pharmacies, which was a business his dad was in. And he didn't like that, so he started wholesaling supplies for the pharmacy industry. And since he was using direct mail as his method of solicitation for business, he started another division of his company where he does mailings for people. So it's an interesting company. And we have some other interesting people coming up. Joe Callahan from Callahan & Associates is a financial planner. He'll be talking about how we should be managing our money in these strange economic times. Okay, and let me tell you a little bit about Greg Johnson. Before founding Johnson Resource Group in February of 2001, so you've had the company now 11 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
August 12th.
Greg spent 15 years establishing and growing the Cincinnati marketplace for two national search firms. During the first 10 years of his career, Greg, who was a CPA, held management positions ranging from auditing to controllership. Greg has a BS in accounting from Austin K State University.
Austin P.
Austin, Texas?
No, actually in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
But that's a commonly asked question, by the way.
Hey. He's got a Xavier Master's degree. He's involved in the community and serves as a city councilman. Currently a city councilman?
In the past.
In the past, that's good. We don't talk about politics.
That's really good.
he was the president of Park Hill Civic Association, president of the board of Covington Community Center, the development committee for the St. Charles Care Center, and is very active in his churches and coaching activities of youth sports. Greg's area is a specialization for his company, which is a recruiting company, include middle management and senior management level searches in the accounting world, financial world, information services, HR, and sales and marketing professionals. It's funny, Greg, a lot of HR companies go the other way and won't recruit for sales and marketing professionals.
We like it. It's a fun discipline.
It's funny, because one of my Sandler training clients looks the other way at those sales positions. Greg and his wife, Leslie, reside in Park Hills, Kentucky, where they've raised three daughters. Okay, so you're a civically involved guy, Greg.
I am. Try to do that give back thing.
Try to do the give back thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about how you started your company?
Be glad to. As you mentioned briefly in your summary there, that my first life, I divide my career into two lives. In my first life, I'm a mild-mannered accountant. I'm a CPA. Spent over 10 years in a variety of different positions in the accounting world. That was my first life, and all of my career, except for the first 3 years, I spent right here in Greater Cincinnati area. My second life began. Don't do all this math out there and determine where this gray hair or lack thereof came from, but my second life began 27 years ago when I actually founded the local arm of a national professional recruiting firm. The name of the firm was called Source Services. The name of the division I started here at Cincinnati was called Source Finance. I was with Source for 13 and a half short years. I grew in various levels of responsibility, including I was pretty quickly named the managing director of the Cincinnati market. And with that, I continued to develop the Source Finance branch, which at the time placed only accounting and financial professionals. I did assume oversight of the one existing branch we had. It's called Source EDP. They placed IT professionals. And then actually started up four separate divisions serving four other disciplines during my illustrious tenure at Source. Source did very well. Our branch grew very nicely. The company grew very nicely. In the late 90s, the company went public, and in the later 90s, we were acquired by a company by the name of K-Force, which is still around.
For them.
Mary K-Force. Okay. I stayed with K-Force about a year after the acquisition. I started thinking seriously at that time about starting my own firm. I didn't quite yet. I actually I had two stints with two other executive recruiting firms. Successful at both, but suffice to say, the entrepreneurial urge finally hit, and in February 2001 is when I started the Johnson Resource Group. My initial game plan was to go it alone for the first year, see what it's like to run your own business.
Sure.
Sure. And get going. But I always put a key section in any business plan I've ever written, and that is to be opportunistic in a positive way. And opportunity came knocking much sooner than that before my current partner. His name is Bill Haggerty. Bill just happened to be the first person who had joined me 26 years ago at Source Finance, and together we built that practice. And, we reunited in July of 2001, and from that point on, decided to build a practice based on a couple of basic principles. One of those is we're real big believers in the "it takes one to know one" philosophy, which means that there's seven of us there now, mm-hmm. Working in the disciplines you just described.
So you have seven actual associates in the company now?
And
recruiters?
We're recruiters. Actually, we are full desk recruiters is the terminology that we use in a business, meaning that we work on the candidate development side as well as the client development side. So mm-hmm. we work both sides of the desk, if you will. And there are several of us there now, but the key ingredient to some of our success is the fact that all of us have been in the real world, as I call it, the corporate world, in some form or fashion, before even thinking about getting into recruiting. I just described for you that I had over 10 years in the real world. All of us have an exceptional amount of time in the business world. And that's where it takes one to know one philosophy comes into play. Candidates can feel comfortable that they can come talk to us, and it's not going to take them an inordinate amount of time to educate us about what it is they've done thus far in their career. We can, and likewise, it's a very nice advantage and gives us an instant credibility with the clients that we represent as well.
Okay, so all of your seven people have experience in the industry or trades that they're recruiting for?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other key factor about our firm is our tenure in recruiting. Among the seven of us that are there, we have well over 100 years of experience in just recruiting, not including our earlier years in our respective disciplines. And again, what that means is we build a huge network of relationships, again, both individually and collectively, and hopefully what that translates into is we can help put candidates at the right place at the right time in a quicker fashion than that.
So that means inside of your own company you have almost zero turnover.
We have very, very little turnover, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we haven't had any turnover. We lost one lady to one of our clients, to one of our very good clients, during the heat of the recession.
She wanted to go back to her old industry.
She wanted something a little bit more stable and steady, and yes, she did go back into the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, we've had a very steady. Everyone has stayed with us throughout the Great Recession of which started in 2008. I guess is when we consider it to be starting.
Are you planning to add any employees?
We do. We would like to do that. We recently added one person in 2012, and we're looking to add more individuals.
Okay, that's good.
So anybody out there that's has some recruiting background as well as background in the corporate world would love to talk to you. By the way,
good.
A little advertising for myself there.
We're going to be right back. We're going to have a short commercial break. Greg has agreed to answer questions from the audience. So if you have a question, our call-in number is always the same, 646-595-4916. And we'll be back after these short messages.
This is Mike Roth, Cincinnati's most experienced Sandler trainer. Many salespeople tell us business was really easy. They likened it to gathering fruit in an orchard full of ripe trees. They gathered the low-hanging fruit. They had to get baskets to pick up the fruit that was already fallen. They never had to climb a tree. They worked this way for 10 or 15 years. Given the strong economy, this was no problem. What are you hearing now? The economy has slowed down. Salespeople are competing on price. There's still business now, but salespeople have to work harder. The fruit has not fallen from the tree, and there's no low-hanging fruit. The fruit is there, but it's higher up in the tree.
The problem is their salespeople have forgotten how to climb. Do your salespeople know how to climb? If you or your team needs to learn how to climb through and up out of tough economic times, call me, Mike Roth, at 513-646-6523 or check our website at rothconsulting.net. When you hear about a typical sales training program, does it usually involve a 1 or 2 day seminar where some alleged guru passes down what he claims are the secrets to making sales? At Roth & Associates, I'm the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. We recognize that truisms and motivating speeches aren't enough to arm sales teams with the tools they need for success. Sales is a hard business. Typical sales training can only provide typical and disappointing results. At Roth & Associates, we use the Sandler methodology of continual reinforcement and ongoing training seminars along with individual coaching to ensure victory in the world of sales. We've been doing it here in Cincinnati for over 15 years. You won't fail because I won't let you. Roth & Associates, 513-646-6523. 513-646-6523. On the web at rothconsulting.net. Finding power in reinforcement.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Greg Johnson. Greg, why don't you give our listeners the telephone number and email address if they want to contact you and ask questions after the show.
That'd be great. Again, the name of our firm is Johnson Resource Group, and we're located at 1881 Dixie Highway, Suite 140. That's in Fort Wright, Kentucky, and the zip is 41011. Most importantly, my email address is Greg, that's just G-R-E-G, at johnsonresources.com. Johnson Resources is all one word. Make sure the S is on the end. My direct line at the office is 859-578-6960. And if you can't reach me there, I have it programmed to get me on my cell phone. So I'm pretty available.
A lot of people do that. Greg, why don't you tell us how you go to market as a recruiting agency?
A variety of ways. Quite frankly, we're certainly very active in social media. We just had a meeting yesterday about continuing to enhance our brand of our particular firm, and first to determine what that is, and then to continue to enhance it.
So that would be a strong internet play. Which internet social media sites do you guys use the most as recruiters?
Probably LinkedIn would be the the social media medium of choice, I would say.
Yep.
It's a very good tool for us. But one thing we don't forget is just the old-fashioned way of actually doing recruiting. Cold calls and warm calls, and so we can't be afraid to go out there and try to contact people and gain referrals. We've been in the business so long, Mike. Most of us have been in the industry so long that we've developed, as I mentioned earlier, a huge network of referral base and contacts that we can often reach out to that database and be able to identify several people that are potential matches in our searches we're conducting.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound like you use something like Monster.com.
We don't. We did a while back, and we were finding that the candidates on Monster.com and were not necessarily the candidates that our clients. When I say clients, I'm referring to the companies that we represent.
Mm-hmm.
who've engaged us.
Is most of your business a retained search, or are you doing contingency searches?
We're about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
We do both, and it depends on the companies. There are certain companies that don't like the R word, the retained, mm-hmm. retained search, and that's okay. But a lot of our business is what we refer to as exclusive searches. So we may get a retainer, we may not, but we certainly We cherish the exclusive relationships that we have with a lot of our clients, and again, that's from years and years of building these relationships.
Mm-hmm. So, Sandler actually does recommend LinkedIn as a sales prospecting tool. In fact, we have a whole methodology that we've developed for that that we teach in our prospecting classes. Do you use the paid versions of LinkedIn?
We have among the seven of us who are there, we have different levels. Some of us use the paid version. Some of us can get along very nicely with the free version of LinkedIn, quite frankly. So it's it just depends on what level that you feel is appropriate for your particular business.
We've used it here to some degree of success too. Are there any other online social sites that you guys find particularly effective that people should have themselves listed on?
We use Facebook somewhat. Okay, it's more of a again a more social than business.
But it could be a great screening tool.
It really can. We're also part of a nationwide network of firms. I should mention that the network is called Top Echelon Network, and it's an affiliation of several firms similar to ours all across the country that are made up of usually the smaller privately owned firms that they're doing the same type of things, the same type of searches that we're doing, and it enables us to have a footprint in essentially every major market across the country.
Mm-hmm. How much business, what percentage of your business comes into this echelon thing?
It's, Mike, it's ever increasing. It's, we've been getting more and more involved in that. Roughly, I'm going to say maybe 20-30% of our business is network business, as I would refer to it.
That's not bad, 20%.
No, it really is.
Is Echelon something that's exclusive to your firm, Johnson?
No, as a matter of fact, there are other there are a lot of other firms in the area that are actually part of Top Echelon.
Okay.
We refer to it as TE. But it's a nice means of sharing job orders, and when I may have a relationship with a company in a that's looking, as an example, I had a company that's based here. I have a relationship with the client here.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for someone in the New Orleans area, and I promptly got on the horn and identified my top echelon affiliate there, and they promptly came up with several candidates that matched, and we made a placement. So it simplifies the process. Yes, we share fees in that situation, but as the old saying goes, and you're in the sales business, so 50% of something is much better than 100% of zero.
Right? So
it's a very good it's a good opportunity for us to continue the relationships as well, and to honor relationships. And
why do you think people do business with you?
Well, I think there's several reasons why they do business. Besides my overwhelming charm and charisma, is that what you're referring to? Or
right, and free autographed pictures of Tom Cruise that you give out.
No, several reasons. I think the main one is because of our experience, as I highlighted in the early part of our conversation. And those two key features of our firm is that they come to us because they know, first of all, that we have connections, that we have relationships. And they know that we've had that because of our tenure in the industry. So I think people feel comfortable with us. I'm told time and time again that they like the fact that we've had experience in their particular discipline before even getting into recruiting, as opposed to going in and not that there's anything wrong with it, but I mean sometimes there are people in other staffing firms that are right out of college and they really can't gain a grasp of exactly what that person is looking for or what they have done in their career, and they find it very refreshing to come to us, somebody they can talk to with extreme knowledge of the exactly what they've done.
Mm-hmm. What is the unique marketing advantage that you bring as a firm to the marketplace?
Once again, I at the risk of being repetitive, I don't know that there are many other firms out there that can. I don't know of another firm that can attest to the amount of experience that we have, both before even getting the recruiting and an actual or actual recruiting experience. We have very tenured people, and that's a very strategic advantage. And again, another one of our strategic advantages is what I mentioned or alluded to at least earlier, and that's our relationship building. We are very, very, very intent on building relationships with our client companies, and we have a lot of repeat business. We have a lot of clients coming back to us and wanting to utilize our services, as well as when we place a person in a company, then again they change over from being candidates to becoming a client of ours in the future. So there's that long term relationship building. And on top of that, we do some. We're not just headhunters. We're career placement specialists as well, career consultants.
Greg, we're going to take another commercial break, and we're going to be listening to a Sandler rule. We're going to be listening to Sandler rule number 24. Again, if you want to call in and ask Greg a question, the number is 646-595-4916. Sandler rule number 24.
I'm Jody Williamson with Sandler Training. I'm here today to talk about rule number 24. Product knowledge used at the wrong time can be intimidating. You know, have you ever overwhelmed a prospect in a sales call with too much product knowledge? If you don't think you have, you actually probably haven't not realized it. Because one of the things we hear from prospects all the time is salespeople tend to come in and talk in buzzwords, industry jargon, acronyms, and in the process they make prospects feel uncomfortable because the salesperson's assuming the prospect knows what they're talking about. And sometimes they do, but many times they don't. And when that happens on a call, a prospect could do one of two things. One thing is they could say, well, time out. I'm not sure what you're saying. Can you clarify yourself? But many prospects won't do that because that implies that they're not intelligent, that they're dummies. And so instead of that, they tend to default to option number two, which is they don't say anything. But what they want to do is get out of that situation because no one likes to feel uncomfortable. So getting out of the situation can look like they have a meeting to go to all of a sudden, or you try to get back in and they don't take your phone calls and they give you the runaround. So we have to be really careful of using product knowledge that way on a sales call. And part of it we have to look at, we have to say, like, where does this come from? And one of the things that we see is that, you know, in our schooling, we learn something new and we get tested and we feed it back and we get strokes in recognition, we get good grades by learning something and regurgitating it back. And so what happens in sales is people learn something, and as they're talking about their information and technical knowledge, they are getting some feedback and some strokes, and they're feeling better about themselves. And when people talk about what they're comfortable with, they do feel good about themselves. But here's the Sandler rule also, is that sales is no place to get your emotional needs met. It's a place to go to the bank. And if I'm using my product knowledge to feel better about myself, that's the wrong reason to use product knowledge. Product knowledge has a value to give you confidence, so you can ask better questions, so you can qualify prospects better. But other than that, you have to be really careful how you use it. So I want you to think critically about your client interactions and ask yourself how much product knowledge and industry jargon are you using. And I would challenge you also to try to retool your sales calls in a way where you focus on asking really good questions and not focusing on giving all your product knowledge.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Greg Johnson. Greg, what are the opportunities that you see or hear about in the marketplace today, 2013?
That's a wide open question there. That's I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I've always been guardedly optimistic about the possibilities in 2013. We are starting to see companies open up a little bit.
When you say open up, they say their companies are giving you jobs to fill?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're starting to receive additional job orders. I think there was a little bit of trepidation about the fiscal cliff thing. I'm not sure whether there still is, but so they're a little bit slow. But I'm feeling very optimistic. I guess I should couch that and say guardedly optimistic about the prospects. And what I like about it, Mike, is that it's across the board. And a lot of people ask me, well, is it one particular sector of any particular industry that's becoming a little bit more active, or any particular discipline is becoming more active? And I'm really seeing pretty much across the board in industry as well as in disciplines, whether it's accounting, finance, or sales and marketing, et cetera, et cetera.
So you're seeing it across the board. People are saying, hey, I need to fill a job in marketing or engineering.
Yes, and you and I have been in the business long enough to have seen these cycles, and we all know how it goes. I mean, people in good times, they'll hire, 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 and then in the bad times, when the economy is down, of course, I don't think we've ever seen anything in our lifetime like we saw in the last 4 years or so. But
I'll disagree with you. I mean, I was when I was in California, when I started, I owned an internet connect company, a computer company. And when Reagan stopped Star Wars in 1988, the rest of the country had a little recession. There was a major depression in
California, yeah.
When you're laying off at 5,000 people a week at Hughes, North American, Rockwell, Grumman.
Yes, and they're all based out there.
And they're all based out there. Literally, you could fire a gun down the center of El Segundo Boulevard at 5 p.m., and you wouldn't hit anybody or cars.
Wow.
All you'd hit was asphalt. A year earlier, it would take 45 minutes to go the five blocks to the 405 freeway.
Right.
That was a real, I'm going to call it a depression.
Yeah, I believe that.
During that period of time when I was using Sandler, I watched a large number of my competitors simply fold up the tent.
And we have seen that as well. In most
are there fewer recruiters out
there?
Yes,
there are. There are fewer recruiters. And as the old saying goes, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And we believe we're emerging as a much stronger firm with continued seasoning on our staff. But
what do you think the opportunities and the possibilities are in the marketplace?
Again, I think there's opportunities across the board. I think if you, a lot of people ask me whether manufacturing is coming back, and that is and the answer is yes, it definitely is. I think that's especially good to hear in the Midwest. We have seen we've seen an increase in our manufacturing firm job orders. Again, it's pretty much all across the board. I mean, you can go to various websites and see what different entities are saying are the most prominent opportunities. But
is your firm active in the IT industry?
We are. Yeah, we are, and that is becoming much more and more active. That was probably the quickest and the hottest to coming out of. If we are coming out of a recession, that's become pretty hot. But again, certain IT is hot, but there are certain ERP systems and certain languages like ASP.NET is an important one, and I don't want to go into all those. But there's certain skill sets that are very hot, and some people can do very well.
Yeah, our clients have told us that. It's difficult to find good developers here in town.
It is. It is. But I think there are future opportunities, again, in a lot of different disciplines, a lot of different avenues, and a lot of different industries.
Mm-hmm. you actually do business on the internet, or everything is handled verbally after you find the prospect on the internet?
Yes, yeah, there's, yes. One of the things we promised the clients that we represent, again, the companies we represent, is that we will have a very lengthy conversation that we will conduct it, if at all possible. I always try to conduct an in-person interview with a candidate before even presenting them to a candidate. Several of our associates will they may work in different industries where most of their candidates and even most of their clients are outside the area, so they do everything by the phone. But there is always a phone conversation and a and clarification of their background.
Do you do Skype?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we had fairly recently. We had a client that was based in Germany, and they had a Skype interview with a candidate where the powers that be were over in Germany, and the candidate was sitting in our office and had a very good. Unfortunately, the person didn't get the job, but Skype worked well. Skype worked well, but the candidate wasn't the right person. But in regards, yeah, we do that. We try to take advantage of all the technology we can and to bring our candidates to the marketplace in the most efficient and best way we can, and likewise connect our client companies with this.
Are there any particular Skype hints that you might want to give to candidates or companies?
Check your background.
Check your background.
Yeah, you want to I'm sure you tell everyone this as well, but you want to make sure that they can see you and to have everything closed off, be in a closed off office, and have the blinds closed, and be free of any distractions at all that you can even possibly think of. Have your phone turned off. Have your cell phone as well as your landline phones. Have them all turned off for silence. So, to be free of any distractions is the main thing I would say with Skype.
I didn't think about the backgrounds. That's a good idea. We just upgraded our internet here in the Cincinnati Bell by optics.
To get
the larger bandwidth. And what we noticed, and we haven't quite fixed in the training room, is lighting.
I think it's key. Of course, sometimes it can work to your advantage if you don't want to see.
Put high-end cameras in, high-def cameras in. And that's one of the things I would recommend to people who are going to be doing Skyping. Don't use the two-year-old camera in your laptop, whether you bought at Staples or Office Max. Go out and buy a high-quality, high-definition camera, because people are expecting to see that.
Now, we always say the disadvantage of a phone interview is that the interviewer does not get they don't have the advantage of seeing your body language and your facial expressions. So that's the advantage of Skype is, even though you're far away and it's essentially a phone interview, they do get to have the benefit of that. So again, advice to anybody interviewing over Skype is to be aware that they will see your body language and et cetera.
Have a good shave that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of my recommendations.
Exactly.
Recently we had a fellow who applied for a job, got an interview with the hiring authority, and I am convinced that he lost that opportunity because he didn't shave that day.
I believe you wouldn't believe the reasons for people not getting asked back for second interviews or not getting a job we had plenty of humorous stories on that.
Oh, I'm sure there are. Maybe you can take a couple of minutes. We have a theory of operation here that simple solutions to complex problems are rarely correct. Therefore, if you want to solve a complex problem, you have to have a equally complex solution. Perhaps you could share with our listeners a complex problem that you solved over there at Johnson Resources, and they may be able to apply that type of solution in their business.
I'll be glad to, and I'm going to risk sounding cliche-ish, but we approach every one of our searches not just as a search or a headhunting opportunity or trying to just make a placement. Certainly, we don't want to put a round peg into a square hole, but we approach it, on the other hand, as a business problem. If a client company is coming to us, they have some type of a complex business issue that they need addressed.
Mm-hmm.
They need to address it by getting the right person in there. So, again, at the risk of sounding like a cliche, we're dealing with complex business issues every day in our business. So if somebody's having a quality issue in their plant, they're probably going to need a very solid quality engineer. And who are they going to turn to find that person? They're going to turn to, hopefully they can turn to Johnson Resource Group. If they are having trouble with their financials and if they're having trouble closing or if we see a lot of companies that don't have a chief financial officer, they when they move into that from a small or medium-sized business into a little bit larger business, they have to make that decision whether they're going to get a CFO into that role or any executive management team member. But those are complex business issues that we can help them with. And I started to talk about this earlier in our conversation. We like to take that solution selling approach. We like to partner with our companies. So we make it a point to meet with our clients, the hiring management of our companies, as well as the human resource executives within the company, and know exactly what they're looking for, what their issues are, how we can help them solve those issues. And we make a point to do that before we even get started on the search. We feel like that's a key ingredient to dip everything in the front end as opposed to waiting until the back end.
So at Johnson, you go out to see your prospects, the hiring companies, when
yes.
they're reasonably here in town?
Yes, exactly, yes.
Okay, so.
And if they're not here in town, we make sure we have a very lengthy conversation with them over the phone. So
good. Again, Greg has agreed to answer questions. If you have any questions, we'll be able to take them during the commercial break. The number will be 646-595-4916. Let me ask you one more question before we go to commercial, Greg.
Sure.
In looking at the internet from the perspective of a prospective employer who has never done business with you guys, what have you done to make it easier for them to find you, the prospective employers?
Again, that's a very timely question because we were just talking about a few of us just went to a seminar on search engine optimization, and we know we're out there, but I don't know the extent we don't know that we're out there to the extent we should be. Right? Let me rephrase that. We know that we're not out there to the extent that we should be.
So did you write your own internal your website yourselves internally?
No, we had an outside person do the website for us, but
mm-hmm.
We recently just updated that just to make sure we had everybody's how you can connect with the individuals on there. But we're talking about a lot of different things, and we're. Besides just...
Do you use an outside search engine optimization firm?
Not yet, but we may.
We've had one already on the show, and we have another one coming up.
Yeah, okay.
This probably will be on in February. I don't want to drop any names.
No, that's okay. I may even know some of those, but that's...
But
That's something
Ken Saunders over at Search Engine Experts was on the show. We do have an hour show. You might want to listen to it.
I should, and I will. It sounds good.
It's a funny business, search engine optimization. On one side of the coin, there are some really good things to do, and on the other side of the coin, I think there are some people who are charlatans running what amounts to an unacceptable business practice.
Yes. Yeah.
The other show I tell you to go back and listen to, Greg, if you're thinking of hiring someone, is to listen to Phil Wiseman's show. He, as a CEO of a company, is extremely astute at search engine optimization.
Okay.
And he talked a little bit about a methodology. We're going to take a short commercial break here, and then we'll be back with Greg Johnson. If you have any questions, the number again was 646-595-4916.
Company owners and sales managers, are you sick and tired of hiring a salesperson you think is Tom Cruise only to get Pee Wee Herman on the first day of the job? Call me, Mike Roth, 513-646-6523, to stop this from happening to you again. Hi, this is Mike Roth, founder of Sandler Training by Roth & Associates, the most experienced Sandler sales trainer in Cincinnati. You've heard our commercials about sales and sales management, but you haven't made the call for some reason. Maybe you're having your best year ever. Maybe you think a sales development company won't work in your industry. You're different. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that. Maybe you're afraid that if you called, you'd buy something. If you're happy with all your sales and profits, and believe you have all the answers, or simply don't see yourself investing in yourself or your people, then don't make the call. We have nothing for you. For over 20 years, we've been coaching, mentoring business owners and sales professionals who are serious about their careers. So if you believe that Sandler sales training might make you better, faster, meaner, and stronger, call me at 513-646-6523. Or register for our next open house. Roth & Associates, the most experienced sales trainer in Cincinnati. You can check us at www.rothconsulting.net. Company owners and sales managers, are you tired of cutting your price to get the deal? Wouldn't you like to have a better way? Wouldn't you want to improve your margins? Call me, Mike Roth, at 513-646-6523 to see if there's a better way for you.
This is Mike Roth. I'm back with Greg Johnson of Johnson Resource Group. Greg? I like to ask our business leaders, and you've had your company for over 11 years,
yes.
And you've been in the industry for a lot more years leading offices for other companies. Perhaps you could give our listeners a leadership tip.
Be glad to. I have plenty of them, but I know this is only an hour.
Well, we have a couple of minutes. We'll let you get away with two.
No, interestingly enough, I just read something today, which I thought was someone talking about New Year's resolutions, but New Year's resolutions for your business. And I think this is actually something that I have felt very strongly about. One of the resolutions they suggested was to focus on the who instead of the what in your business. They go on to say that successful companies run the risk of focusing too much on their current products and distributors, which is the what, and in turn they lose sight of the constant and dramatically changing needs of their customer base, the who. And it's very important in our business. We're in the sales industry. You're in the sales business. And I think a lot of successful companies really do run the risk of losing sight of that and just staying focused on who your end customer is, what the end result's going to be, as opposed to worrying about, just as an example, I mean, several companies that get so big, they come out with a nice product, and then they're going to tell us what they're bent on telling us what the best thing is for us, as opposed to really going to the consumer base and trying to figure out what the consumer really say to this. I think it's a nice resolution. I think it was it's something that, and knowing that I was going to be on your show, I thought that was something that's a great leadership and tip, and I think I I've tried to follow that little tidbit as well. The other thing in our business, again, in the sales business, that I have seen happen, it's kind of interesting because we're in the hiring business as well, or in the people business, but the biggest mistake that and the biggest weakness a lot of entrepreneurs have, as well as any business owners, business management, is there's an old saying that people are guilty of hiring quickly and hiring too quickly and firing too slowly. I'm not saying that exactly.
Hiring quickly and firing slowly is the biggest mistake.
It's the biggest mistake.
It's interesting. We did a management class yesterday, and we spent the entire three-hour class on best practices of hiring from a Sandler perspective and building a what we call a search model, people with the right skills, education, aptitudes, attitudes.
And that's people can think we rehearse this, but we didn't do that. That's exactly right. I've been subject to that as well. I think all of us, we humans, are reluctant to get rid of people when we all know it's something that needs to happen. And I hate to see that, but you need to know when to cut the cord.
In Sandler, we always recommend, at least with sales and people, is you always tell them what they have to do to keep their job and tell them what they have to do to get fired.
Yeah.
If you say that up front at the beginning,
it's a lot easier. They essentially fire themselves is what it is in some respects.
It's easier that way.
Yes, it certainly is.
You certainly don't get as many bent feelings if you say to them, hey, you've got to sell $1 million worth of product this year, and the guy only turned in $500,000.
Then you know where you stand. It's not quite that easy in the rest of the corporate world as it is in the sales, but it's never easy to make those kind of decisions. But that would be one of my weaknesses earlier in my career is hiring quickly and firing slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the first interview, you can interview Tom Cruise and you get Pee Wee Herman
right,
just out of the commercial. I mean, that's so
right.
True.
It really is. Yeah, again, it's ironic that came up.
But it just comes up because it's the truth. In the world that you are in, recruiting, do you ever have the problem that you get a candidate in front of a prospective company, they love the guy or lady, they give him a job offer, the guy takes the job offer, gets a counter offer from his existing employee when he resigns, and they decide to stay with the existing employer? That's never happened for you, has it?
Never, ever in my 27 years. No, I'm just joking there at all. But it happens very seldom. With us, it does happen a lot, all the time. I will credit
on the employer side. If it's a B or C level employee, I'm never going to give them a counter offer.
Right, right. But we do run into it not often, but occasionally.
But you don't lose any candidates accepting the new job.
One or two in several weeks. But we've been pretty good at it. And the reason our statistics
pretty good
have been
means.
Very good on that. Pardon me?
Pretty good means. Out of every 10 times it happens, how many you keep?
And I'd be surprised in the last 5 years whether there have been 10 counteroffers in 10 times. But it does, with our candidates and I think it happens a lot more outside of us. But what I was going to say is that with us, we prepare candidates every step of every step along the road for what to expect in the interview, what to expect. Again, the reason for us getting together with the client companies ahead of time before we even start our search is so we have an understanding of not just the specs of the position. Or getting some knowledge of the company, but we try to gain an understanding of the culture of the company. We try to gain an understanding of the people with whom they're going to be working, with whom they're going to be speaking in those interviews. And so we get very well prepared for the interview, and then we also get them prepared to what to expect if an offer should come, and then we get them very well prepared for the counteroffer. So most of the people will recognize the perils in accepting a counteroffer. And that they're,
why don't you explain to the audience what the perils are in accepting it?
Well, there's several little one-liners. If they offer you a nicer sum of money, are you just getting your next raise in advance? The obvious peril, or maybe not obvious to everyone, but one of the obvious perils is, when they do go into downsizing mode, you are considered a disloyal employee because you're ready to leave them anyway. So if they're debating on whether to let Susie go or to let Joe go, Joe's the one who accepted an offer, and then you got him back. I'm probably going to go with Joe to let him go. So there's all kinds of different scenarios. Also, word gets out in larger companies that Joe would turn in his resignation, but then they try to hire him back. So all of a sudden, he's ostracizing himself from the rest of his colleagues at that particular firm.
Mm, and they might get wind of it.
Exactly, yeah. And then it causes
all kinds of problems.
And it also causes problems for the company as well. I mean, when that happens, it usually does not end well. And I usually see those candidates who, the very few times this happened to me during my career, and I'm sure it's done that, those candidates I usually see back on my doorstep. Saying, you know what, it didn't work out. Whether it's 6 months or another year down the road, they're out looking for another position.
Let's change gears here for a minute.
Sure.
In the last couple of minutes of the show.
Okay.
Maybe you can tell our audience a great success story that you had in recruiting.
Wow. That's there are
companies that came back to you for multiple people would be success stories.
Yeah.
They were happy.
We've had several of them. I think that in itself is a great success story. Is that we've had a significant portion of our business is our repeat customers. I think another total success story is the fact that I cannot tell you how many times I and my colleagues have interviewed a candidate and thinking that there's very very slim chance that this person is going to be a candidate for any of the opportunities that we're representing at the time, and probably not in the future, where it turns out that a unique opportunity pops up, and that person happens to be the right person for it, and we are able to plug them in there. We've had several loyal companies. There's one company actually out of Dayton, and I should let people know that we work the entire tri-state. Actually, we work nationally, but. We certainly have coverage throughout the entire tri-state area. But we have a company based in Dayton that came to us through a relationship with my partner, and they've been our all-time. Came to us with a type of position that wasn't directly in our bailiwick, if you will. We filled that position for us, and we've had about 20 other successful positions filled.
Mm-hmm. At the time. I've often wondered what a bailiwick is, but that's another whole show.
Am I showing my age? Am I showing a different language?
Greg, I do want to thank you for being on the show. A copy of one of the newest Sandler books, the 49 Sandler Rules book.
Fantastic.
As a parting gift for being on the show.
That's great.
Read the book, and if you want to know the other 300 rules, then you have to pick up the phone and call me.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on, and I would love to any of your listeners that want to have a conversation. As I started to say, we're every bit as much as career counselors as we are just headhunters extraordinaire. So please feel free to have them call me or drop me an email. Be glad to talk to anyone.
Good. Scott, why don't you take it away?
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or comments, contact Mike at mikeroth@rothconsulting.net or call Mike at 513-753-9400.